Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning verse 1. We're going to look at Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I like what Brother Schambach used to say. His thing was, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Because the Lord has made a provision for us for everything that would concern any need that we would have, spirit, soul, and body. And his provision is there. So we don't have to be in fear or allow the spirit of fear to work, but rather to stand strong in faith. He said, "My Father's house are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you." You know, God will tell you what you need to know. Sometimes people say, "Well, are there aliens?" Well, the Bible didn't talk about it, so whether there is or not, it's irrelevant. You don't need to know it. He would tell us about it. If it's not in the scripture, you don't need to know. He said, I would have told you, there's many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. I have to go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know, this passage right here carries with it the thought of that with a marriage, because the bridegroom would prepare a place or have a home ready to receive his wife. And then in the culture there, and you have the parable with the 10 virgins, they would go to the bride's house to get the bride and go to the place that the groom had prepared. So the man and woman would be separating from the father and mother, and there was a place being prepared. He has a place prepared for his bride and for us. It's like in the natural, if a lady's pregnant, there's this thing happens inside her to prepare the place for her baby. Yeah, so you'll have many times couples, they're getting their baby's room ready. I remember we had moved over to Red Lion, and it was January when we moved. It was just snow on the ground. And anyway, a stray cat shows up, and we took her in. Little did we know she was pregnant. And she wanted to make the place to have her kittens, and she chose our bedroom closet as the place. But even the animal kingdom, they have the mind to make the place for that new life, to prepare a place for them. And the Lord has a place prepared for us where we would be born into the kingdom of God, and a place prepared to raise us. So he said, "I have to go and prepare a place. Where I go, you know, and the way you know." So Thomas, he says, "Well, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we even know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now, I need to back up a moment first here, where he said that where I am, you may be also. Where was he? Present tense. He was standing on the same piece of dirt that the disciples were. He was not talking about a physical location, but where he lived and abode in spirit. And Jesus lived in the Father, in the kingdom of God, in the Father. And he said, "I need to prepare the place that in spirit, where I live, in the life of God, you can abide in this same place." Physically, they were in the same place as he was, but not spiritually. So he had to go, and we understand he had to die for our sin to make the way for us to heaven, to make the way for us to be able to access the kingdom of God. So he's saying, no one can come to the Father but through him. The place was in the Father, was in God, and that he is the way. Now, Jesus spoke in an absolute sense here. I am the way, the only way. The New Age movement says there's many ways to God. We need to respect every ways to God. You cannot be a Bible believer and agree with that. It's incompatible. You cannot do both. If you want to believe there's many ways to God, in that embrace, you are rejecting Jesus Christ and that he is the Son of God, the only one who could pay for our sin. That is a complete rejection of who he is. We can never compromise that. So the New Age movement says, oh, all religions are good and so forth. But Christianity, oh, they say there's only one way. They're incompatible with all the religions of the world. Well, that's what Jesus said. He is the way. We can never compromise that. There's no other way of salvation but through Jesus Christ. Yes, but, what about the Buddhists, the Muslims, of this side or the other? They're all going to hell. I mean, it's what the Bible teaches. Well, you know, God's merciful. Yeah, but no man can save himself from sin. Sin separates us from God. All humanity is born into sin. When the law of God comes, it waters the seed of sin and rebellion, that people rebel against God. And then the consequence of that is spiritual death or separation from God. So therefore, we need a Savior. People who don't know they need a Savior are not going to cry out to the Lord and humble themselves before him. But when we understand what sin is and what it does, and we are all bound to it, we cannot free ourselves from it by ourselves. When we understand that, then we must have a Savior. And we consider that the Son of God alone could pay the price with the shedding of his blood to make the way back to the Father. And through that, forgiveness is granted to us, where God's saying forgiveness is that you don't have to pay for it, your sin. He paid for it. And remission of sin, where he not only forgives us the sin of rebellion, but he removes that sin, or the remission of sin. And that's a new covenant promise. It's only by way of the remission of sin that we can receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God himself cannot come in and dwell in an unclean vessel. So he is the way. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad to know the way? Praise the Lord. And the way was provided for us by grace through faith. You don't have to do all sort of works. That's what all religion says. I have to work to get to God and earn something from him. But true Christianity is that God, out of his love for you, was gracious to give you the gift of eternal life and to give the blessing of his life to you. He came, he became all that we were, that we could become all that he is. He brought life to us. It's not for us to somehow find him. He came to us. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the truth. I've had something stirring in me for a few weeks I want to bring out here for a moment. Jesus is the truth. He's the truth by which we can understand correctly all other truth. There are many truths in this life, but he is the truth. Or in other words, you cannot really understand other things except you see them through the light of him as the truth. He said, I am the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's John 8:12. We can only properly understand and see when you look at things in the light of who he is. That's part of the very essence and core of receiving what we would call a Christian education. As you are going to study academic things from the perspective of what does God say about it or what is that in the light of who he is and what he has done and provided for us. Now, some things, 2 + 2 = 4, no matter how you slice it. And opinions don't change that. That is a truth. But God, who created the heavens and the earth, is also the God of mathematics. Yeah, he established those things. They're unchangeable. They're truth. We know them by way of him. It's not a matter of man's opinion. Now, the point that I want to bring out here is that if you begin to magnify a truth above the person, the truth, Jesus, you will, that's always the beginning point of religion. Religion is, I'm going to focus on what I'm doing and trust in my own opinion and action to bring things about. Our salvation, we didn't bring this about. We receive it by grace through faith. But whenever you begin to exalt a truth above the person of the truth, you won't see it right. Now, where we can see the evidence of the statement I'm making is with the Pharisees. And Jesus really blasted them in Matthew chapter 23. I mean, he was the whole chapter just really blasting on them because they were the mountain he was talking about speaking to. They were that which stood in the way of people receiving truth. They were a hindrance to people coming to worship God at that point. And one of the things what they did is they would, see, the Pharisees weren't like all evil. They acknowledged truths, but they put certain truths above the truth of God himself. So, for example, in Matthew 23, he said, well, you all were like, you could cut a piece of mint out of your garden and say you have a mint leaf. Any of you grow like spearmint or mint, make your own tea, or mint's great for making tabbouleh. I mean, you use spearmint to make tabbouleh. You know what tabbouleh is? It's like a Greek salad. Love it. But they could cut a spearmint leaf off, and they would measure that out and cut a tenth of that little spearmint leaf off and bring it into the temple, part of their tithe. Now that's taking a truth and making a big deal about a truth. But he said to them, you're missing the weightier matters of the law, mercy and faith and judgment. In other words, you don't take a truth like that and put it above the love of God or the mercy of God, which is the very DNA of God. God is love. So as we magnify the person of God, the truth, we're going to first be looking through the eyes of love. Not taking one particular thing. It's true. And Jesus said, well, you ought to do these things. Yeah, you should tithe out of mint or cumin, which is a spice used in the Middle East. I guess I use cumin in tabbouleh too, right? You don't know. I haven't made it for a while. But anyway, you take like a spice, you're going to grind up that leaf and make, you know, like spice. Sam's bringing his chili tonight. I'm sure that's what kind of spice you have in that, Sam. You have any cumin thrown in there or just some hot chili peppers? Anyway. I remember getting some spices from India from Pamela. Like, well, yeah, I'll bring some of this home and come back. And I'm in my earlier days of cooking, I made like a rookie mistake. I held the thing over the pot. I'm going to tap some of this spice to come out of the bottle. It's tap, tap. You know, it says like a pinch of this. Well, the problem was it clumped and it was plop. And we tried to eat that, Don. I bet it took one bite and said, we got to throw this away. It's too hot, man. This is hot. Yeah, you could make a focus on that little bit of spice. We need to tie that. And if somebody like could take a truth about tithing, and we need to tithe, that's a scriptural principle. It is for today. It was before the law, during the law, and after the law. It had nothing to do with the law, really. It's just God's principle to bring blessing into your financial realm. But you could magnify that and say, well, I'm tithing, but then you have bitterness in your heart towards people. Or maybe even be offended towards God, some people. And you never can take a truth and begin to magnify above the person of truth who allows you, it's as you look at things in light of who Jesus is, who you know him to be, that we can see other things in a proper light. But if you try to separate truths out, you're going to get whacked out. And you'll have some Christians, they might exalt prophecy, say. Well, prophecy is a truth. It's a good thing. They might exalt healing. They might exalt anything. Prayer. They pray religiously, but they don't really pray out of a love for God or out of faith for God. Because that prayer as a truth can only be understood properly in light of who is Jesus relative to that. And for many people, they struggle in their understanding of things because their focus isn't on the person of truth. It is particular truths. But when we have a revelation of who the Lord is, then we can understand all other things properly. So I wanted to bring that particular truth out to you, that Jesus is the truth. And in these end times we're living in, there's so much going on and there's so much knowledge and things out there that you can latch on to something but still have this confusion or lack of understanding or this religious stuff come out. Religious, you know, where you're the Pharisees, they couldn't see that they weren't looking at people in light of the love of God because they had certain things exalted above measure. So in kind of rephrasing this somewhat, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus. And over the years, that's, you know, revelation that became more and more real. The older I get, the more I go on, the more I press in just the simplicity of the Christian life. Love Jesus. You can be doing a lot of things that seem to be all the right things because they're truths. Well, I do this and I don't do that. Well, I don't do this and I do that. But do you love Jesus? The Lord, in his rebuke to the Ephesian church, said, return to your first love. Just loving Jesus. He's your everything. Keep it simple. You know, something that's a blessing relative to that is you, if you're not some intellectual genius, you can tap into all life of God. It doesn't matter. You could be a 7-year-old child and tap into all the life of Jesus because you just know Jesus. In fact, in some ways, the simple-minded have an advantage. Because that's they're living in that simple. And, you know, as we get older, we have to learn to hang on to certain childlike things while we grow in our knowledge. You can't let go of the childlikeness. Just in learning to walk in this life with joy and enjoy, you have the joy of the Lord, there's a certain childlikeness you have to maintain. If your mind's just busy all the time, money, you know, and things and this, you get so bogged down and weighted down, you can't just enjoy life. You know, for many people, it'd do them well just to spend time with 5-year-olds. You know, go outside and say, "Wee! Grandma, there's a squirrel in the yard. Wow!" You know, and just something simple like that. Look at the flower. Wow, flower. You know, we just can enjoy life. Now, that doesn't mean you stay a simpleton. We should develop our mind. It increases our capacity to do more. However, as we increase, we have to hang on to or maintain the simplicity of life, the simplicity of enjoying what God has for us. Jesus made some simple statements. He said, "I command you to walk in love, but your joy may be full." It's in living that life, we're just giving out of ourselves. That's where the greater joy is. And I've watched this over the years. There are many people I've observed who didn't really have much of anything, but they lived the life of giving. And they're most joyful people. Most joyful people, just like kids. You know, little kids, they just have fun. They just have fun. That's why it's not really wisdom to try to make a 6-year-old understand financial pressures in life and world affairs and the war could be happening here, there, wherever. They don't need to know all that. They really don't even care. They don't understand. That'll come later. Now, commensurate with that knowledge coming should be a growth in faith, our faith in God, lest we be troubled by the knowledge we would get. Jesus, and again, back to verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So the Lord is the truth. Now, last week I was sharing touching on a few things of some like major lies of the enemy that he had established right in the beginning of time, tempting Adam, and then tried to bring it against Jesus, and he controls humanity. I didn't get into what I want to hit on right now, and that is that the lie that man can save himself or that he doesn't even need a savior. I'm fine. I'm good. Everything's fine. And in a world, what I marvel, people think they're so smart. They might have a college degree or something, a piece of paper that says they have the knowledge of some truth. In other words, they actually studied a certain subject and became very proficient in a subject, which is a truth. But all that a truth stuff doesn't do much good if you don't know the truth. The one who is the source of life, the one who allows you to properly use the knowledge you would have in love. So we have the truth of God, and the big lie of the end times is that man can save himself. And so you have people who in their own measurement are so smart, but they don't see their need for a savior. So how smart are you? And the thing that I'm at is, it makes me laugh. It's so pathetic. But the brainiacs think, you know, they're saving themselves from climate change. I mean, for a while, they called it global warming till the world's temp was cooling off. And I remember back in the 70s, they were saying, the experts, the brainiacs, were saying that we're going into another ice age. How many of you remember that? In the 70s. I mean, that was like the death pronouncement. Man has to control things to save himself from another ice age. 20 years later, we've got to save ourselves from global warming. I remember hearing a guy on the radio say, if running an SUV is bringing the temperature up, I'm going to buy a couple and sit them in the driveway and let them run. Because he liked warmer weather. Oh, my. But it is so silly. It is so ridiculous. A man's going to save himself. And he actually believes this deception. He is so smart. He's going to save himself. And you look at what's happening in the world in our own nation. And you see people on the news. They're trying to figure out, why did these people kill all these people? They got demons. That's why. It's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible teaches. Yeah, they allow demons to torment them into this hatred and murder and such type of things. It's a real simple answer. Real simple answer to why they did all of this. And it's a real simple solution. They need to get saved. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the power of God unto salvation. That doesn't change. Well, it says over in 2 Thessalonians, when it speaks of the Lord's return, that a strong delusion would be sent, that people would believe the lie. That lie is man can save himself. But those that don't have the love of the truth and love unrighteousness, they'll be destroyed. I'm not doing an exact perfect quote in that, but that's, you can turn there and see that the delusion of the end times, man can save himself. You know, people think whether it's through technology and all this different stuff, man can save himself. And it's so stupid. The people think they're so smart propagating all that are very, very ignorant. Now, they might be very knowledgeable in some truths, but when you stop acknowledging the truth, the Lord alone, a Savior and Lord, God our Creator, when you stop acknowledging that, you become blind. And Romans chapter 1 says, them professing to be wise have become fools. You know, and then all the manner of sexual perversion and violence and all of this rebellion is unleashed. And it's all right there in Romans chapter 1. But it was precipitated by the fact that people, they reject the truth because they don't want to submit themselves to him and begin exalting certain truths above the truth, and then become blind and become fools. The Bible calls them fools. So here Jesus says, I am the way, no other way. We cannot properly understand and handle truth in general, if we do not acknowledge the source of truth, what's God say about this? Or what's his purpose in life? What's his way I'm to walk in? And then he also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the very life of God. We have to come to this point where we realize the thing I'm really looking for, the life I'm looking for, is only in Jesus. Now, that's also called the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And the rest of the fruits mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5. We were created for that. Nothing less than that will satisfy you. You could possibly have some dissatisfaction in your heart and in your mind, even today. Like, there's something missing. There's got to be more. We were created for love, joy, and peace. And that's only experienced and found in him. He goes on here in chapter 15 talking about abiding in him and the fruit of the Spirit coming from him. You know, these chapters here in John, there's a context prior to him going into this, which is right before his crucifixion. He raised Lazarus from the dead, said, I am the resurrection and the life. Real life in the Spirit is only found in him. Now, we can say, yeah, we know. I know that, Pastor Bill. The degree you believe that is seen in what you pursue. If we, to the degree we really understand that, if we really understand it, we'll be all in pursuit of him rather than looking to a peaceful place or a happy happening or somebody making you feel warm and fuzzy, also known as in the world love. Where are we looking for that which would give life? And the reality is, it's only really in him. And once we come to fully see that, then the automatic response is he becomes our pursuit. And as we know, we already have that. It just throws you right into thankfulness and praise. See, you can be here today thinking about trying to get something. Lord, bring me something, or how do I get it, or where am I going to find it, or what am I going to do after I leave here? Or we can realize we already have it in him. I'm pursuing it in him. And how can we put this one to praise him then? I mean, you know, really, it's if we really realize we have it, there should be a thankfulness and a joy that's just, praise God, here's our opportunity to express it corporately. And it's a wonderful thing to enter into that place. You might say, well, I come, but I don't really feel that, or I don't really enter in. Well, continue to seek him, pursue him, believe his word, and look to the Holy Spirit to make this real and impart to you. That love, that peace, that joy. And then what will happen is just a thankfulness in our heart, not complaining about everything. Because if you're complaining, you're not being thankful. You're not rejoicing. Your eyes are not on that which he's already given you. You're looking at something for what it's not, or the agitation that it is to you, rather than the greater thing. We have the life of God. We have it while we're on this earth, and he made the way for us in heaven to go and be eternally in the presence of God. And what's going to be happening in heaven itself eternally is praise and worship. I mean, how can you not? If we're in the presence of life, how can you not but want to do that? Well, we have the life of God, so let's rise and give him praise today. Hallelujah. Amen.